1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm going to preach on this subject. Our greater is he, Savior. Our greater is he, Savior. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help us. Some of us are facing problems that seem greater than us, and very well may be, but they're not greater than you. Some of us are facing dilemmas and decisions that sometimes become greater than us, but Lord, they're not greater than you. And we read here that there's nothing in this world, Lord, even the spirit of Antichrist, even the devil himself, all the demons of hell. Lord, Jesus Christ, Lord, we're here to proclaim this morning as greater than all. So I pray that there would be encouragement given, Lord, to your people this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, while we're open there, if you don't mind marking in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You see the word greater there in the middle of the verse? You might want to underline that or circle it. And then just a few words later, you'll find the word than. I have those two verses marked in my Bible. Now, how many of you are math whizzes? Okay, that's about three. I can tell you the three math whizzes of Blessed Hope Christian School is Michael, Shad, and Chad. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Yeah. So they're going to come on up here and help me right now. All right. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Right here. All three of you in a row right here. So every once in a while we like to show off the fine educational system. Just right here in the line. You know, like you do. Just like you do at the police station. There you go. There you go. Switch places. Now, I put him in the middle because of the three. Chad, of course, has the superior intellect. You know what this is, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. You hold that. The pressure's going to be on you now. All right. You hold that. You hold that. Now you turn that which way you need to turn it. Is he right? Let's give him a round of applause. Come on, man. Both these young men are all three are in fourth grade. And so actually, now that you know that, that's more impressive, you know. All righty. Okay, I'll see if I can mess with you a little bit here. All right. Is it right? All right. Now, we're going to get a little tricky here. All right. Well, that was supposed to be a 9. I just wanted to play around with you just a little bit there. All right. Okay. You better get this right. Or you may not be in Blessed Hope Christian School next year. Amen. That's what that verse says.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
All right. I got to challenge him a little bit here. Oh, you see that? Kept maintained eye contact and just smoothly turned that over. Is that right? Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Yes,
still right? Michael, hold it up. Not that high. There you go. Is that good? All right. Thank you very much. I want you to mark those two words in that verse, because I hope every time you see that verse, you'll see greater than, and you'll think of the greater than sign. Chad, how did you remember which way to put that? What's the little trick that they taught you in math to remember? It's wider, so it's bigger. All right. What were you taught? Yeah, absolutely. I was always taught the alligator, you know. And alligators like to eat a lot, so when an alligator comes up, it's going to eat the bigger part. But yours was wider is bigger. Anybody got anything besides wider and the alligator? That's pretty much it. So that's how you remember. Let me say this, church. I'm not sure if there's a trick that I can give you to remember this, but I hope that you'll always remember that greater is He that is in you than anything that is in this world. I want to show you this and illustrate this to you now in the Gospels. So we are going to the Gospels in Mark chapter number 9. If you go over to the Gospel of Mark chapter number 9. One of the things I want to spend some time showing you in the Gospels this morning, and of course I'll have to read some of it to you because we're going to cover a lot of material in a short amount of time, but I want to show you this, that all through the Scriptures, you'll never find a place in time where you see that the devil or the demons of hell were greater than Jesus Christ. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We do serve a greater is He Savior. I want to read just one story, and then I'll reference several others, but we'll read and focus and study on this one story in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit, that's talking about that devil, that evil spirit, tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he saith unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I want to show you this. First of all, I want to introduce to you and show you, because we need to understand this, that even though we have a greater is He Savior, we have a great enemy, a great and powerful enemy. Now, folks, listen to me. Just because one number is greater than another number, it doesn't mean that that number that is smaller is zero. And thank God for our greater than God, but that does not mean that Satan does not wield and use tremendous power and influence over people in this world. Now, just for a minute, I want us to just look at that. Not to discourage us, but so that we will acknowledge that we have a worthy enemy. We won't let our guards down. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, a little kitty cat, He doesn't say that. You get the idea that, you know what, the devil's just not much and he's not got much power, and you know what, I don't need to spend much time praying. I don't have to worry about the armor of God. I don't have to spend much time in my Bible. And you know what, I'll just be able to, in my own power, to walk through this life and I'll be all right, because he just doesn't. I'm going to tell you something. You've got a big target on you, and you're just the kind of person, or I'm just the kind of person, if I get that mentality, that'll end up a casualty in the battle that we fight each and every day. I want to show you for a few minutes that when Satan gains control of a life, he wields great power. Look at verse number 17. I can show you plenty of places where this is true in the Bible, but let's just use this one example in verse number 17. It seems like Satan, when he gains control of a person, gains great power over the tongue. Verse number 17, this man said, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, when you young people see that word dumb, you think dumb or stupid or ignorant. But that word dumb is talking about the fact that this young man could not speak. When Satan gained control, he gained control of the young man's tongue. And you know what? When Satan gains control of a life, begins to have influence in a life, when a person begins to yield more and more of their life over to satanic power, it's amazing how their tongue begins to be affected. Some of the things they ought to say, they don't seem to be able to say. Hello, young people, like thank you to mom and dad. Or amen in church. Or a kind word to a brother or sister. There's some things all of a sudden they don't seem to be able to say. And then all of a sudden there's some things that they don't seem to be able to not say. Like words that no person should utter. Seems like their tongue becomes more perverse, more crude, more caustic, more unkind. When you begin to see somebody begin to give over and yield more and more control of their life to the devil instead of God, you begin to see that one of the first things the devil does is he gains power and influence over the tongue. Young people, listen to me. You, if you're born again, cannot be demon possessed, but you can surrender ground to the devil. One of the marks of a young person that's beginning to stray away from the Lord is you just begin to listen to them talk. Things begin to change. And they begin to sound more like a lost person than they do a saved person. So we see that. So the devils have great power. How about verse number 18? This demon or devil that came upon this young man not only exercised great power over the tongue, but great control of his will. Did you see verse number 18? Look at that first phrase. And wheresoever he, what? Taketh him. Isn't it interesting as somebody begins to surrender control to Satan, surrender control to the devil and his powers, all of a sudden it just seems like they begin to go places that they wouldn't have gone before. The devil's not going to lead you in a right way, in a right path to good places. And how much of the control God has in your life and how much of the control the devil is having in your life can probably be figured out in your mind by the places that you went this week. Okay. You know, when the devil is allowed to take you wherever he wants you to go, you're going to go to some places where there's sin and wickedness and debauchery. The devil is the one that leads somebody into the tavern. It's not God. The devil is the one that leads somebody in the red light district, not God. The devil is the one that leads you to watch shows that maybe one time you wouldn't watch. That's not the Holy Spirit giving you Christian liberty. That's you giving Satan control in your life. And so we begin to play around with some things, young people. And remember this, the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Be very careful. But more and more you begin to, it seems like, give Satan control and you fight against the will of God and the word of God and the ways of God, you begin to yield more and more power to Satan in your life. The next thing you know, your tongue is affected, and then all of a sudden your path is affected, and Satan begins to exercise great control over your will. But folks, let me say this. It may seem harmless in the beginning that he begins to affect your tongue and begins to become the one that leads you in this life. But I want you to understand also that once you begin to give your life over to the devil, we see that he has also the power to exercise great torment over your mind. Verse number 18 says, "And wheresoever he taketh him," watch this, "he teareth him." Well, that's a powerful word. "And he foameth and gnasheth his teeth." The word "teareth" there means to break, to wreck, to crack. It means a shattering to minute fragments. And folks, I could stand up here if I was cruel enough and call names that you would know. As I have watched people begin to give their life over to Satan, the next thing you know, their life becomes fragmented and destroyed and wrecked and cracked. And let me say this, the devil begins to tear them and control them. You ever seen somebody just get in what I call destructo mode? Everybody in their life comes to them that's got any good sense and care and love for them and tries to help them, and you know what? It just seems like they are so bent on doing things that's going to destroy them and hurt people around them. What's happened, preacher, to somebody like this? What's happened is they have begun to allow influences in their life that are not healthy, that are ungodly. Parents, let me have you look up here and remind you that you have a great responsibility to watch guard over your house. To watch the influences that you allow in your home. You should guard carefully what kind of music your young people listen to. Music isn't good or bad. Oh, come on now. Really? 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 Who's convinced you of that? I've watched young people around here that have a sweet spirit, a good relationship with their parents, and a heart for God. And almost every single time that I've watched that change in a very short amount of time, almost every single time, if I get to that young person, begin to sit down and they'll get honest with me, it changed and began to change when they began to listen to the wrong kinds of music. That's why the Bible says that we're listen to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Music is powerful. Music is powerful. And we need to be very careful what we listen to. Come on now. Amen. This is good for us. This is good for us. We can begin to excuse, well, this music's all right, this music's all right, this music's all right. And the honest truth is, when you listen to certain types of music on a regular basis, you get into destructo mode. Okay? And so, great torment of the mind. He's tearing himself. He's foameth. He's gnashing his teeth. That gnashing of the teeth is always equated with somebody who is in agony, mental anguish. It's amazing once you give your life over to the devil and he begins to get control of your life. Just what a mess. What a mess your life becomes. In verse number 18, the Bible says he pineth away. Satan begins to exercise great destruction of his spirit. He pineth away. He's controlled the tongue, he's gained control of the will, he's gained control of the mind, and he begins to destroy the very spirit of the man, where the essence of that man is being destroyed. And then from that, we see in verse number 22, jump on down in the story, and oftentimes it had to cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And then it seems like as this spirals down and the devil gets more and more control of a life, we begin to see Satan exercise great influence towards self-destructive behavior. Now look right up here, young people. I'm going to say some things and you need to hear them, okay? We live in a very unusual time where I believe we're seeing more and more evidence of satanic influence in the lives of our young people in this culture. I don't know if I've ever seen, and I've worked with young people for 25 years, folks, and I don't know if I've ever seen in the last 2 or 3 years young people hurt themselves more. I mean, take knives and cut themselves. Now, I'm not all that old. I know some of you think I am, but I'm not that old. It hadn't been that many years ago. Okay, it's been a while. But it hasn't been that many years ago. I'm sorry, folks, but I attended a public school most of my high school career. I don't ever remember somebody cutting themselves. And yet, if you talk to somebody who is working with young people on a regular basis, you'll find out that this has become a problem of epidemic proportions. Inflicting pain upon themselves. Watch this. I want to help some of you. Suicidal thoughts. Suicidal acts. Doing things that cause great danger. Doing things that have the potential of destroying your body or your mind. Seeking out behavior that any rational person would look at and say, are you kidding me? The meth epidemic in our community here, folks. I mean, anybody that's got the ability to read in a few minutes on the internet to find out about meth and what it does to you would walk away in 10 minutes and say, are you kidding me? Why would you put that in your body? Now, you young people, look at me and listen to me. I don't ever know who I've got in this church, so somebody's got to shoot straight with you. What's happening is you've got yourself under the influence of the wrong kind of friends. You're playing around in a neighborhood that Satan rules. And you know what? You better get to God quick. Because the Lord never leads somebody to that type of behavior. The Lord delivers people from that type of behavior. If you're being drawn into that, let me just say this, because this is real life stuff, and I'm not picking on you, but there's people here in this church. You need to get to somebody. I'm at that back door. You just come by and shake my hand and lean over and say, preacher, could you come by and see me sometime? Because you need some help. And there's people that love you. And there's people that will help you. Your Sunday school teacher loves you. Your bus captain loves you. Your mom and dad loves you. There's people in your life that care. Your pastor loves you. Don't get caught in that lifestyle. Come see somebody. Come talk to somebody. But I'm telling you what, the devil's just hurting them by the hundreds to this self-destructive lifestyle. Now I say that because I want you to understand that this preacher understands that the devil has great power. But I'm also here to tell you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, yes, the devil has great power, but thank God for a father who cared. I said a few minutes ago, there's somebody in your life that cares about you. And you know what? There's somebody, if you'll let them, can help you get the help that you need. I think this young man was in such a case that he didn't even have the good sense to seek help. But thank God for a daddy that cared about his son. Verse number 21. It's his father that brought him to Jesus. And Jesus asked, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it casteth him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But I want you to notice the intercessory prayer. I want you to notice a father that came to Jesus. Do you understand, and will you listen to the passion of this last phrase here in this verse? Can you see the father's quivering lip? Can you see the tears in his eyes? Can you hear the desperation in his voice? But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And let me say this. Every single one of you know somebody that's in trouble. I'm talking even about our teenagers here. You got a friend, you got a brother, you got a sister, you got somebody that's in trouble. Somebody has got to intercede for somebody who gets themselves in such a destructive mindset that they don't even have the good sense to seek out help for themselves. One of the greatest things that you can do as a Christian is to dare, watch this, is to dare to get involved in a situation where that person is going to end up destroying themselves if somebody doesn't care. Now, the world will give you all kinds of plans on what you ought to do. They'll say, take them to this organization, take them to that organization. They'll say, they need this medication or that medication. But I will tell you this, the greatest thing that you can do, young people, for a friend that you have in your school or in your neighborhood, a brother or sister that's in real trouble, is to say, come to church with me.
Amen.
What? What? Come to where? Are you? Just come to church with me. Just once. Come to church with me. Because, folks, the answer is in Christ. You need to get them to Jesus. Did you notice that this man said, if you can do anything, do you have a sense, maybe like I do, that perhaps this isn't the first place he's taken his child to try to get help? Did you notice the desperation? It's almost like, listen, I've tried everything else. I don't know what else to try. I heard that you're the Son of God. I heard that you perform miracles. I heard that you help people. I heard that you have power over this kind of thing. If you can do anything for us, anything for us. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and I think a great act of kindness for you or me or any of us to find somebody that is in destructo mode and go to intercessory prayer for that person and begin to say, God, I want to do whatever I can to help this young person, to help. And by the way, it's just not teenagers that get themselves in this mess. There's 20-somethings out there, 30-somethings out there, 40-somethings out there, 50-somethings out there. And I'm telling you what, they've gotten into a lifestyle where they are self-destructing. And you know what? It's hard to talk to them. It's hard to make sense to them. They're pushing everybody in their life away. But listen to me. Watch this. Some Christian can still make a difference. Some Christian can still pray. And he came and he asked Jesus, and he said, if there's anything you can do, please have compassion and help us. I believe in the power of faith-empowered prayer, intercessory prayer, faith-empowered prayer. Notice what Jesus said in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So he said, listen, I know you're asking, but I want to question your faith. I want to question whether or not you can really believe. You really believe that I can help. And I love the answer of the Father. I love the honesty of it. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You say, preacher, what? What an answer. He said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You say, preacher, I just wish I had great faith. I don't know what great faith is, but I know this. Jesus said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be you removed, and it'll be removed. You see, it doesn't require great faith. It just requires enough faith to pray. Enough faith to try. Well, preacher, I want to believe, but I'm not even sure that I totally believe. Then you say what this man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. How many of you be honest enough to say that most of the times when you've stepped out by faith, that there was also present a little bit of doubt? I had somebody tell me this, and I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But they said, I'm pretty sure the Lord wants me to do this, but I'm not 100% sure. And I looked at them and I said, I don't know if I've ever been 100% sure of anything in my life. And they looked at me rather shocked, like, preacher, I'm not talking about 100% sure whether the Bible's true or 100% true. I'm just talking about sometimes you make those decisions, you've prayed, you feel fairly sure this is what God wants you to do, you pray some more, you want to believe. And you do believe, but there's always that little, but what if? And so I wish I could stand here and tell you that your preacher's never prayed this prayer, but I draw great comfort from this prayer. Because many times I've had to say, God, in the quietness of my heart, when I can push all the doubts away, I really believe that this is your will. And I'm going to step out and do it, but I will also be honest with you, God, there is a little bit of doubt. There's a little bit of unbelief. So I do believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Now, folks, that may not sound like a very powerful prayer, but it was good enough for Jesus. It was good enough to get his son the help he needed. Well, preacher, I think God wants me to help this person, but I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of overcome with some fears and doubt. And then you say, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, and you step out by faith and you just dare to try anyway. Well, I've done it in the past. It hasn't always worked out. That don't mean it won't the next time. Hey, Aren't people worth the effort? Aren't people worth a try? There's people sitting all over this auditorium that stumbled into this church, literally, I mean it, stumbled into this church with their life a mess. And somebody or several somebodies in this church said, let's just take a chance on them. Let's just reach out to them. Let's just love them. Let's just surround them with prayer. Let's just point them to Jesus. Let's just be an encouragement. Now, preacher, does every time that work out and do all those people get the help they need? Folks, I can't say that, but I know that we see enough miracles that I think I'll just keep trying. I think I'll just try on the next person, and I'll just try on the next person, I'll just try on the next person, I'll just try on the next person. Because God sure does do His share of miracles. Let me remind you that James tells us that when we pray, we should ask in faith, nothing wavering. The Bible says, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. The Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I believe God wants us to come with true-hearted faith, but I'm also glad that God understands that we're human, and sometimes our faith, our belief is mixed with a little unbelief. But thank God that God said, you don't have to have a mountain to move a mustard seed. You just need a mustard seed to move a mountain. I can promise you, there's many times, Brother Joe, that I've just said, I know God wants us to do this, but I'll be honest with you, I'm plagued with doubts. But really, I do know. And I've stepped out not knowing how in the world it would work out. And God said, that was enough faith for me. Now, we've looked at the great power of the devil and the great power of intercessory prayer, but I want to finish by showing you the greater power of the Son of God. Preacher, does the Satan have great power? Yes, he does. But I'm pleased to report to you that Jesus Christ, God's precious Son, has greater is He power. 1 John 4:4. If we had the time, I wish I could run through all of these. But I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to give you some of them. I'm going to challenge you to read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've asked you to do that. I hope you're doing that. All the time that you're reading that, as you read it, just have an ink pen handy. And if you ever see an instance where Jesus had an encounter with the devil and lost, would you please circle that and bring it to me? I mean, if you ever read and say, wow, look, that must have been a strong demon that was in that one guy, because Jesus was pretty much helpless there. You go ahead and circle that and bring it to me. Because I can take you to Matthew chapter 4, where God allowed the devil to have access to Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights. And in that time, he did not eat. In that time, he fasted. In that time, he became physically weak. But in a weakened state, Jesus Christ had no problem beating the devil. I could take you over to Mark chapter 9, and I could read you these words. But they, when they had departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. I can take you over to Matthew 12 and read these verses. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the devil and the dumb, or the blind and the dumb, both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of God, or Son of David? I can take you to Matthew 15, where a woman from Canaan, a Gentile, came and said, O Lord, thou Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And a few verses later, we read this. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, folks, all I'm finding is victory, 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 victory. You know what? When it's Jesus against the devil, you can't say, well, he's got a 10-2 record. Well, he's about at 500, like I wish the Cubs were. No, he's undefeated. Undefeated. I could take you over to Matthew chapter 17, where a certain man, the Bible says, came kneeling down. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. I've had parents come in my office and say that. Sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. I brought him to thy disciples, could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. But watch this. Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Ring up another one, another victory. I can take you to Mark chapter 1. They came to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and there was a man that came out of the tombs, a crazy man. The Bible says that no man could bind him, no, not with chains. It says he had oft been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains that had been plucked asunder, and the fetters broken pieces. Neither could any man tame him. The Bible says this about him, and always night and day was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Isn't that interesting? But I can also read to you the rest of the story, where Jesus commanded that those legion, not just one demon, not just one devil, there was a whole group of them. The minute Jesus commanded them to leave that man, they ran, they left that man, went into a herd of swine, ran down an embankment, drowned in the river, and you know what? That man was found later on sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Bring me the hard cases. Preacher, I don't know if we want drug addicts here. I'll take them. Preacher, I got a neighbor, but man, he's got a mess of a life. Bring him to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't know what other churches want, what they're looking for, but I don't spend my life looking at the back door waiting for perfect people to walk in. You know what? This is not a museum where a bunch of perfect people come so we can look at each other and admire our perfection. This is a spiritual hospital where all of us have problems and all of us have challenges. And you know what? The devil's taken something from all of us somewhere along the way. Somebody that walks in the door of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I had somebody tell me one time they came in and they looked very much like the world. And they sat in here and they looked around and they told me afterwards, I just don't know if I fit in here. I just don't know. And I couldn't help but share with them. I said, you know, a lot of the people that you look around and you see now that are clothed and in their right mind didn't come to us originally in that condition. Matter of fact, I told this person, if you knew the stories of some of the very respectable looking people that are sitting near you, you might not want to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen, folks, look up here. Aren't you glad God still changes lives? He didn't take us from imperfection to perfection. We're not going to ever acquire perfection until we awaken His likeness. After we die or we're raptured, we'll be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you know what? Then we won't have any sin problem. We won't have the flesh. We won't have any more failures. God doesn't make us perfect, but He sure makes us better. And all of a sudden with Jesus Christ, battles we couldn't win by ourselves, all of a sudden we begin to gain some victories and things that we couldn't overcome, all of a sudden we find out that Jesus joys, delights in making people into overcomers. All of a sudden, marriages that seemed like they weren't going to make it, God comes down and puts His blessed hand upon them and heals and helps and allows people to exercise some forgiveness and some patience. Young people that looked like they were doomed to fall away, watch God get a hold of their hearts and bring them back. Are you listening to me? Folks, listen to me. Let's just keep that mindset here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's love the unlovely because Jesus did. Let's reach out to help the person who it seems like Satan's got such a control in their life. You know, that's the kind of person Jesus helped. Let's seek out that one that's struggling. Come on, was it that long ago that you weren't struggling? You've never hit a bump in the road. You've never had a time where the devil was winning in your life more than God was. Did somebody love you? Did someone exercise some patience with you? Did someone care enough about you? And so we see that Jesus Christ has a perfect record. I got to read this to you, Luke chapter 4. This is verse 31. Boy, there's four or five more stories. We won't take time, but I want to read this one to you. It says that Jesus came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Now this is pretty neat. Taught them on the Sabbath day. So he was in the synagogue preaching on the Sabbath day. The Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of the unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. In the church? In the church? Yeah, yeah. This wasn't Jesus out in some Gentile nation trying to help somebody that was a demonic. This was Jesus in a Jewish synagogue, and as he preached, somebody that came into the Jewish synagogue, the devil had control of their life, the devil had a hold of their life, And as the Bible was preached, that devil revolted against the truths. You know, the devil does not want anybody that's a mess to walk through the back door of that church and come in here and hear the truth. Because if they come in and hear the truth and they by faith accept the truth, that devil knows he's in trouble. Pretty soon he's going to be homeless. Amen. Amen. You know what? Sometimes people walk into the house of the Lord, and you know what? The devil does have a certain amount of influence and control of their life. They're either oppressed or possessed. Their life's a mess. All of the telltale signs of demonic and satanic activity are in their life. But thank God that somebody can walk in that condition. And the preaching of the Word of God in this day and age is still powerful to help that person find Jesus Christ and be delivered from that type of a life. Now that means, young people, listen to me. You bring them all in. You bring anybody you can in. Preacher, I know this kid at school, and man, he's downright scary. See if you can get him to come to Sunday school. You mean church? Yeah, I mean church. Yeah, get him here. Get him here. I don't think he'll fit in. He'll fit in just fine. Thank you very much. We'll take him. We'll take him. We'll put him in Brother Reiser's class. Amen. We'll take him. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you folks, listen to me. You cannot find any place in the Bible that Jesus was ever defeated by the powers of darkness. You cannot find any place in the Bible where Jesus was ever intimidated by the powers of darkness. You cannot find any place in the Bible where Jesus was ever incapacitated by the powers of darkness. You'll never find any place in the Bible where Jesus was immobilized by the powers of darkness. You'll never see any place in the Bible where he was disregarded or disobeyed or destroyed or defiled or defeated. Every time Jesus came up against the devil and his angels, he always came forth the victor, triumphant. But wait a minute, that problem you face in your life right now is going to be the first time in the history of the world where Jesus loses. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Greater is he that is what? In you. Now that leads me to the last question, the conclusion of the message. Here it is. Is Jesus in you? It doesn't say greater is he that is heaven than he that is in the world, even though that would be true. You know where you begin to gain the victories in life? When Jesus Christ comes in you. The Spirit of Christ comes in you. When does that happen? That happens the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I talked to a lost person recently, and I think under great conviction, I think that they were being dealt with by God. But man, I'm telling you what, the devil was throwing into their mind every single excuse, and I would deal with that excuse biblically, why that wasn't a valid excuse to put off salvation. They'd give me another excuse, and I would open the scriptures and deal with that excuse and say that's not a valid excuse. And then they would give me another excuse, and finally they got to the point where they did not have any more excuses, and they just looked frustrated, and they said, I just don't think I'm ready. You know, that's the one they always get to finally. I just don't think I'm ready. And I finally looked at them and I said, listen to me, I just want you to ask me a question, answer me a question. All right, up to this point, you've been living your life without God. How's it going? No, honestly. How's it going? You know that God never created us to try to face the problems of life and deal with all of the heartaches of life by ourselves. And one of the great things about receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior is that never again will you ever have to face anything alone. Greater is he that is in you. There was a time I walked into a church lost. There was a time I walked into the church, didn't understand a whole lot about the Bible. There was a time I walked into a church, and the honest truth is, if I'd have dropped dead of a heart attack, I'd have gone to hell. But thank God, my parents kept bringing me to church, and slowly I began to understand. Thank God for a preacher that would preach on heaven and preach on hell, and show me in the Bible that they were real. Thank God for a preacher that wasn't afraid to preach against sin, because preaching against sin brought me under conviction that I was a sinner. Thank God that he also preached on the love of God and the grace of God. Thank God that he quoted often John 3:16 so that even a little child could understand that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to give public testimony, and I want to thank God that the Father began to draw me. I want to thank God the Holy Spirit began to convict me. I want to thank God that God opened my eyes so that I could understand the gospel. I want to thank God for the day that I walked down an aisle, looked a preacher in the eye and said, I think I'm going to hell. I don't think I'm saved. I want to thank God that God hears the prayers of even children when they pray and ask for the gift of eternal life. Folks, Jerry Ross is nothing, but Christ is everything. And you know what? You don't have to be much at all. But you plus Jesus Christ, you talk about a dynamic duo. You talk about an undefeatable tag team. There it is right there. And you can make it, Christian. You can make it with Christ. I don't care what you're facing. Preacher, the devil's beating me up. It just seems like I'm losing. I'm telling you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what you need to do? You just need to say to Christ, listen, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You need to put full faith in Christ. You need to, listen, don't rely on yourself. You're going to mess up. Don't rely on your strength. It's not going to get the job done. Rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Throw yourself upon the mercies of God. Say, God, I'm trying to tackle this situation, take care of these problems by myself, and I need you. It's amazing when we get to the Father. It's amazing when we get to God. And we acknowledge to Him how badly we need His help. How He just reaches down. And I'm not saying He waves and all of our problems go away. But all of a sudden He begins to empower us and help us and strengthen us. And pretty soon that heart that was discouraged becomes encouraged. And we begin to go forward in the power of God and begin to see victories in our life. Are you here today and you're not saved? If you died today, here's a fair question. If you died today, do you know 100% sure that you go to heaven? Well, I don't know if you could know that. Well, the Bible says you can, and I can take the Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. We have other people here that could take the Bible and show you how you could know that for sure. We want you to be saved today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you say, Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure what would happen. I don't know. I fear what might happen. You spoke of heaven and hell. You spoke of knowing for sure that you're going to heaven. I can't say that I know those things. But I do know that God's dealing with my heart. Preacher, I'm probably not saved, but I do know that God's dealing with me, dealing with my heart right now. Would you pray for me? And by the way, we don't embarrass people. I wouldn't call your name and I wouldn't come get you. No one else is going to come get you. I just want to pray for you. God's dealing with your heart about salvation. Preacher, I need to be saved. The truth is I need to be saved. And God is dealing with my heart. Would you just pray for me, preacher? Would you slip your hand up real quick? I'm not saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not saved. Okay, thank you. Preacher, I am saved. But I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I'll just be honest with you. I'm struggling. Seems like the devil's winning way too often in my life. And I do need God's help. Would you raise your hand? I need God's help in a special way in my life. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. All over the auditorium. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a greater than God. Lord, the problems are real and the powers of Satan is real. There's no doubt the Bible supports those things. Even our inward fears and turmoil and weakness, all those things are very real. But Lord, thank you for being there when we need you the most. Help us to live a life of faith. Help us to believe and then pray for help in our unbelief. Give us that faith, dear God, the size of a mustard seed. Help us, Lord, to go forward. There's many here, Lord, today that I could see, Lord, by the expressions on their face that they were touched as we talked about. Somebody in their life that needs help. Somebody that they know that needs help. I would pray, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom. Help them to be brave enough, courageous enough to step out and try to help that somebody. Take this message, Lord. Plant it deep within our heart. Help it not to disappear as we pull out the parking lot. Take something from it, Lord, and change us. Make us more like Jesus, we pray.